introduce one of the most badass feminists and the coolest queer mom that I know. This is Lindsay Comey with the West Coast Feminist Health Project. Go, Lindsay! Yeah!
Hi. My religion's Hellraiser. When I get arrested, I like to fill that in on the box, religion, Hellraiser. It really upsets them. But as a feminist and as a spiritualist, I wish to speak to you seriously about miracles. When I talk about raising hell, you see, I'm a firewalker. I walk on hot coals because in my life, I need to know that the spirit of justice moves through the planet and that this world, as we know how it exists, isn't the only reality.
Damn right.
For 31 years, I ran an abortion clinic, and I have participated in thousands and thousands and thousands of quality abortions right here in the Bay Area.
That's right.
So when people say to me, we suck, I think about it in a lot of different ways, okay? I think about it in terms of vacuum aspiration. I think about a 5-minute procedure that saves women's lives every fucking day. I think about it as a lesbian, because when we talk about sucking, we're talking about safe sex. We're not talking about pregnancy. We're talking about fun. We're talking about our biological destiny as women to be orgasmic. This is our destiny. Our destiny is to use all of our parts however we choose. Now, I'm here today to talk about the truth, and there's a really big truth that all those peoples over there are bringing their kids and they're teaching them wrong.
Right.
In Oakland yesterday, we had a bunch of youth come out to the abortion clinic family planning specialist, and they actually came out with chopped up pictures of fetuses.
Oh,
they came to attack and harass the women seeking abortions in Oakland. This happened yesterday. There's a group of youth that are calling themselves survivors of the abortion Holocaust. I say to you as a feminist, I am appalled that they do not understand that now is the time to stand up for women's empowerment,
right,
and to trust women.
Stand up.
When I listened to their speeches yesterday when they were chatting, one thing that was very clear to me is that they are trying to manipulate the truth. Abortion is not murder. Abortion is not genocide. Abortion is women's empowerment. Abortion is the way that women's lives are saved every day. What I say to you as a badass feminist and as a mother and a grandmother is honor labor. We need to demand to know why Planned Parenthood in Oakland is no longer providing abortions. Why is that happening? We need to call Planned Parenthood and say, we've already lost one clinic. My clinic shut down because of the budget cuts. My landlord said, I'm sorry the state's not paying you. You're just going to have to go. So we have 7 years that we're maintaining medical records, and we hope within those next 7 years we're going to reopen, because a feminist women's health center needs to be in the Bay Area. But you will see us on the streets. And we have a clear message. It is not about restrict abortion. We need to say expand abortion access worldwide. Today, 5 million women in the world lose their lives related to complications. 70,000 women a year worldwide die of an abortion complication. 220,000 children are left motherless. What are we saying? We're saying abortion saves lives, and we're here to say women deserve better than hatred. Women deserve love, and we have a message for you. We trust women. Absolutely.
Time's up.
Thank you, Lindsay. That was incredible. Next, we have Bea Johnson from World Can't Wait. Bea started as an activist for the disabled community, and she's inspired by World Can't Wait has saved her life, and she's inspired by the anti-war movement in the United States. So here's Bea Johnson.
You go, B. You tell him, B.
I wish I could speak extemporaneously, but I'm stuck with a piece of paper.
Every year, the ominous drumbeats grow louder and closer. We are up against a dangerous, highly organized movement backed from top levels of government and society that's out to overturn Roe and to destroy women's humanity by destroying our right to make for ourselves the most fundamental decisions that affect our lives and the lives of all of those around us.
Yeah,
whether it's the Catholic Church bamboozling its flock or the Christian fascists who also believe women's bodies and lives are the property of men, or the bipartisan congressmen and congresswomen attaching abortion amendments to supposed health care reform bills. This is a danger we must fight.
Yeah, she's out there.
We live in the most powerful country on earth, which is unleashing the most violent military in history on impoverished people in three different countries, even as we speak and gather here today. They are still torturing people in prisons in Afghanistan, as well as Guantanamo. All this ruled over by the first black president, who just won, of all things, the Nobel Peace Prize, after a campaign that hardworking women, people of color, gays, people against the war, and progressive people in general worked their asses off to put that man in the White House. The U.S. is racked with division over the crimes initiated by the previous Bush regime and over the continuing strain. Oh, I dropped something. Hold on. Thank you. Thanks. And again, the U.S. is racked with division over crimes initiated by the previous Bush regime and over the continuing strain on its military and economy, over the culture wars now boiling, on the social position of women, people of color, immigrants, queer people, and the role of traditional marriage in cementing a stable imperialist society. The right-wing teabag types who enthusiastically embrace the Bush presidency and everything it represented now howl and rage against Obama, who they call the fascist socialist, the Antichrist, and of all things, the N-word. I can't say that angrily enough because we all know what it means. Meanwhile, the party in power led by Obama preaches that we must seek common ground with these right-wing lunatics. The most prominent abortion doctor is shot while in church, and in response, violence and threats against clinics and women around the country increase. Armed racists gather outside Democratic organized public meetings without police intervention, while students in Pittsburgh are gassed and beaten during the G20 meetings for the world elites. This progressive president says he's against gay marriage on the basis of his religion. That wasn't the song he sung when he was campaigning. And who in power calls him out for it? That's right, no one. Obama promises that the health insurance reform he wants will not become an abortion bill or provide coverage for undocumented immigrants. Not to mention that he is trying to charge people who already cannot afford insurance and forcing them to buy insurance that they just can't afford. He appointed the anti-abortion, anti-birth control Catholic activist to direct the Department of Health and Human Services Center for Faith-Based Community Initiatives. I want to know what happened to the separation of church and state. The separation of church and state was created to protect the state, not religion. The state is in big trouble. We are told to have faith that this system will work. I'm an atheist, so faith doesn't work for me. I have to know what is a sure thing. And this administration and its diabolical plan to destroy women and people of color around the world is despicable. They say that we must have the stamina to suck it up and work on the next congressional race to push the Democrats to fulfill one of the basic planks of their own party platform, abortion and birth control rights for women. These hypocrites. The world can't wait says no, no, and no again. Nutcase Republicans say it is a sin and want to make it a crime for which women must suffer, repent, and sometimes die. None of the supposedly pro-choice politicians dare to say what Jane Fonda said in response to Stupak. Reproduction and sexuality are keys to women's empowerment. If a woman is able to determine the reproductive and sexual aspects of her life, it means she can also control and determine many other aspects. When women are robbed of reproductive health and contraceptive decision making, they lose an essential element of what it means to be a full human being. We have to stop seeking common ground with maniacs. Stop tying our dreams to what's deemed politically expedient. Start saying what is true and start acting like human beings with passion and principles. Without this basic right, women can never be free. Right to life, your name's a lie. When abortion is illegal, women die. Abortion on demand without apology. Without apology. Dr. Tiller, we will never forget you, and we will never go back. The world can't wait for the freedom of women.
Thank you,
B. Right to choose abortion, a historic advance for women's liberation. Abortion rights as part of reproductive rights are a precondition for women's right to full equality. Abortion rights have been attacked like all working class rights since 1973, the Hyde Amendment outlawed Medicaid abortions for poor women. They've come under attack by both Republican and Democratic administrations. The Obama administration, of course, has continued that course. They've called for common ground for those that oppose abortion rights. They've accepted an amendment in the House bill that would outlaw federally funded insurance for use for abortion. I just want to say there is no common ground between those that support abortion rights and those that are opposed to abortion. There's no common ground, just like for supporters of black rights and those that would lynch blacks. There is no common ground. Now is the time to rebuild the women's movement, and this is a part of it. Today we are living, this is the dictatorship of capital. Millions unemployed, home foreclosure, the extension of the wars in Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Iraq, attacks on democratic rights. For women's rights, it's the abortion rights, it's been the murder of doctors, the attacks like parental notification, the shutting down of women's clinics, and so forth. What is necessary is the working class taking political power and reorganizing society from top to bottom in the interests of the working class, the majority of humanity. And I just want to take a minute to talk about Haiti. Washington's response to the earthquake has been criminal. The Haitian people need food, water, shelter, and medical care. We call on immediately flying those who need the urgent medical care to the U.S. Open the borders. Provide massive reconstruction aid to Haiti. No strings attached. Cancel Haiti's foreign debt. Open the doors to Haitians who wish to come to the U.S. We stand firm today, 37 years later, in defense of women's rights to choose. And I want to encourage everyone to come by the table, pick up a copy of Women, Abortion is a Women's Right, in both, have it in both English and Spanish. There's also a new book that I recommend. It's magnificent. Malcolm X, Black Liberation and the Road to Workers' Power. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Deidre Wilson is the former prisoner and the new incoming program coordinator for the California Coalition of Women Prisoners. Here's Deidre Wilson.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. Nice rainy morning. I thank you all for coming out. And I assume that we're all here because we value life. We value life. And I want everyone to consider for a moment that we're here because we value life and we realize that something is wrong. Something is wrong in the system, and something is wrong, I can tell you for sure, in the prison system. Life is not valued. But I want us all to ask ourselves, what motivates you? Are you here because you're motivated by love? Or are you motivated by anger and fear? This is something each of us need to ask ourselves, because any movement and any stand we take and any statistics that we run down and any analysis we make of the system, if it's motivated by fear, we're just mirroring the oppressor. So I just want you to consider and pause and really reflect on yourselves, because this is deep work that we need to do within ourselves if we're serious about what we say we're fighting for. And I'll come back to this in a minute. Yeah, I was in prison, and I had a baby in prison. I was arrested when I was pregnant, so I have the direct experience of what it's like to be bringing life into the world while incarcerated. It's no picnic. To me, the prisons is like an unholy marriage of our system, which has a history of oppression driven by materialism and profit-seeking, as we see through our history and slavery and all the genocide that it's based on. Prisons are the modern holding tank, largely for people of color, which is the outgrowth of a system of slavery. So it's not a spirit of life, though. It's a spirit of death that runs the prisons. And it was important for me in carrying my child, which was something I was doing. It wasn't something I was making a speech about. It's something I was, you know, I was giving birth myself. This is life. This is a sacred thing. And when I was taken to a sonogram appointment, I was shackled during the entire appointment. It was a woman guard who took me to that appointment. He kept me shackled, watched me in the bathroom as if I was going to run away at 7 months pregnant. When I gave birth, I didn't have a choice. They did a sonogram and they felt that there was something wrong, but it was really a misreading of the radiology appointment. They couldn't reach the radiologist. I had no say in having them do a second opinion. I had no say because my body and my baby, we were both the property of the state. So I was a body in a cell, and they could come and get me and take me to the hospital for this and that and decide when I could have my baby and decide the whole course of that baby's future, and I had no say. But I had to claim within myself that I have the power within myself and with my faith in God through love, and no one can take that away, ever. And that's the power that we need to stand with and the love that we need to come with in this movement. So thank you very much.
Please have Leslie Mullen up to the stage, please, and any other speakers who are on our agenda. Up next, I'm going to introduce the foxiest little feminist that I've ever had the pleasure of meeting. This is Mart from Acorn Radical Women. Thanks, Ellie. Thanks, everyone, for being out today. Woo! Give it up. We are Bay Area Coalition for our Reproductive Rights. We are here to stand in defense of abortion rights, reproductive justice, and all other struggles for equality. We are here in defense of clinics, which we defended yesterday morning in Oakland. One of the last abortion clinics in Oakland was under siege by the so-called survivors of the abortion Holocaust, who very callously referred to anyone born after 1973 as a survivor. If you tell an actual survivor of a genocide or a Holocaust that you're also a survivor of an abortion Holocaust, they'll tell you to go screw yourselves. So we are here on this beautiful day, Saturday, January 23rd, to march against the anti-choice, anti-gay Walk for Life West Coast. This is the seventh year we've been out. We have been organizing for this for the last 3 to 4 months. We do this every year. It's the main thing BayCorp does. However, we hope to be doing more things in the coming year, study groups, different actions. We'll see what happens. There will be two lovely women roaming around with buckets, Beth and her friend, whose name I don't know, I'm really sorry. Beth, there are buckets being held up right now, if you can see just over there. Beth and her friend are going to be circulating the crowd, and anything that you can donate to BayCorp would be greatly, greatly appreciated. We have a lot of funds that have been donated, but we need money to help pay for the permits, the porta potties, the sanitation system, anything else that comes up. So we're really very much in need of donations, and anything you provide is greatly appreciated, and it helps support grassroots coalitions and organizing. Checks are okay as well. So please look for Beth, who's circulating with a bucket, as well as her friend, and please donate whatever you can. They also have programs, so if you need a chant sheet or a program, or a statement as well from BayCorp is on that. So, the buckets are being held high, and please look for them, and thank you so much for your contributions. And we'll see you in the streets in just a minute as we march against the Walk for Life. Woo! Thanks, everyone! Thank you, Mara. Next is Leslie Mullen. She's with the Haiti Action Committee, and is a longtime advocate and fighter for reproductive justice and women's rights, and a longtime community activist. She joins us now as an on-the-ground activist fighting for justice in Haiti and internationally and in the U.S. Please welcome Leslie Mullen.
Thanks very much. Haiti has captured the world's attention in a life and death fight to survive after a devastating earthquake. 3 million are homeless in Haiti, and perhaps as many as 200,000 have died. The living are in critical need of food, water, shelter, and medical attention. And I don't have to tell you that it's our government that has stood in the way, blocking this life-saving aid relief that's been sent from around the world. It is our government that has shown more concern for securing Haiti than for helping Haiti. The first, I have to say, Iceland got aid to Haiti before the United States did. The first supplies that got to Haiti from the Pentagon were, they were called reconnaissance drones. After that came a U.S. aircraft carrier that was equipped with Sidewinder missiles. By the end of this buildup of military troops in Haiti from the United States, there will be something like 14,000 troops in addition to 9,000 UN troops that already exist there. They say that with this combined military presence of over 20,000, Haiti will be more militarized per capita than Afghanistan. But before the earthquake, there was another disaster. that had already confronted Haiti's people, one that was made in the USA. The US engineered the overthrow in 2004 of Haiti's democratic government and the led by President Jean Bertrand Aristide. And after that, the result was that thousands of people died at that time and thousands more were imprisoned. The one good thing that came out of the earthquake was those people in prison, many thousands untried political prisoners, are free. And the U.S. during that occupation reversed all kinds of advances that were made on behalf of Haiti's people in education and health care. Many of those benefited women, particularly literacy. So we hear repeatedly that Haiti is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. Not true. Haiti is the most robbed country in the Western Hemisphere. Haiti has been impoverished by policies that came from outside of their own country, by the interests, the geopolitical interests of America and the Western world. If Haiti has no water infrastructure now, it's because George Bush's administration blocked millions of dollars of loans that the Aristide government had secured to improve the water system. If Haiti was hungry before the earthquake, and it was, you can credit United States neoliberal policies that destroyed the indigenous rice industry, that privatized and closed Haiti's flour mills, that forced Haiti to import American rice. Haiti, a country of 9 million, is the fourth largest importer of American rice. USAID destroyed the Haitian pigs. All of these measures, globalization, neoliberal measures that were forced on Haiti, pushed the rural working people, the peasant farmers, into Port-au-Prince. They had no way to survive. That is why we see so many millions of poverty-stricken people in Port-au-Prince today who are suffering. And even when they got aid to Haiti, it went to the richer districts. It wasn't even hidden. You can watch it on CNN. So the one thing I have to say is we have also seen from this the determination, the resistance, the resilience of Haiti's people that has kept them alive ever since they defeated Napoleon, ever since they overthrew slavery and made themselves the enemy of this country. What can you do? You can give money to the grassroots organizations. You can educate yourself about a long history of Haiti. I do not have, you know, an opportunity to talk about, but it is amazing. Come to a demonstration. Haiti Action Committee is having a demonstration this coming Monday at 5 at Powell and Market. We are going to demand get aid to Haiti and get the U.S. out of Haiti's country. Let Haiti live. Let Haiti be for Haitians. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, we have Anita O'Shea with Radical Women and BayCorps. She's one of the incredible organizers of this event, and without her work in the past several weeks, we couldn't put this on. So thank you so much. Here's Anita.
Hi, everybody. So I want to give you all a rundown of what's going to be happening today. We're here to oppose the Walk for Life, which is an anti-abortion group. And basically, we're going to have a really beautiful green banner, which is behind you. It says, "We'll never go back." It's going to be at the front of the march. And we want to be marching unified behind that banner. So we're going to meet towards where the white tents are over here, line up and start marching across the street to where the ferry building is. We're going to be on the sidewalk. We're going to be loud. We're going to have lots of chants and beautiful signs. You all look so colorful and beautiful. I love it. And then we will have people on security team, on the security team, they have red armbands on. So if you see any right-wingers trying to get on our side, let them know and they can help defuse any situations. Again, we are a peaceful march. And there's going to also be a queer kissing. So if anybody is interested in that, there's some red lip signs. Go gather around the red lip signs right now and you all can march together and have a nice makeout session to freak out the anti-abortionists. What else do I need to tell you? If you want signs, if you need any extra signs, they're underneath the bus shelter right behind you. And Allie's going to help pass those out to folks. And I think that's about it. So we're going to have a great time. If people have been here in the past, we're not going to march as far as we have in the past few years. We're going to go probably stop around Pier 39. We're going to stop at Grant and Embarcadero and just have a little ending session on the bullhorns and chants and stuff like that. So I'm looking forward to marching with you all, and why don't we do a chant right about now? Pro-life, your name's a lie. You don't care if women die. Pro-life, your name's a lie. You don't care if women die. Pro-life, your name's a lie. You don't care if women die. Pro-life, your name's a lie. You don't care if women die. All right.
Hello everyone, I'm Allison from the Berkeley National Organization of Women. We're so glad to be here and so glad to see you all here in the rain and everything, standing up for everything that we believe in, which is so incredible to believe. We have a table over there. We have My Body, My Choice signs. We don't have too many, but we do have them. So visit our table to get those. I just want to say how important it is that we are here. There are so many people over there who think they're standing up for just life. And when we do reproductive justice work, it's amazing to see all the women who are so emotionally affected by this, and who have friends who have thrown themselves downstairs because they couldn't get abortions, because they couldn't get the care they needed, because people think that they're standing up for life, and people are not supporting them in whatever they need to be supported in, just for basic human needs. So thank you all for being here. Your work is very important. You are seen, you are important, and we value every one of you. So visit our table and we'll share love and grow in strength and everything beautiful. Thank you.